Pacific Ocean.
Hallelujah.
And the reason I'm here is I met a gal in Oregon named Peggy, and she had a brother named Bobby Connor. And by and by, I met Bobby, and we began to have a real neat relationship. We went out to dinner tonight out in the country, went to a little restaurant way out there in the boonies, and I'm country. I grew up on a grade A dairy. If y'all never been around a dairy, that's twice a day, every day, your birthday, Sunday, New Year's Day, you milk cows. So I know what it's like to be around where there's work. But working for the Lord, doing His will, is the best that I ever did get my hands on. This is so neat. You know, another reason I'm here, because the Lord had me come here. This is a divine appointment. I got a nice water bed at home. I got friends. I tell people I like my banky. You know, I don't like to travel. But the Lord says go. And so when He says go, then it stirs me up, and then I want to go. And all I want to do is share the love of Jesus. And I want you to understand that if I talk about something that I can do, so can you. I'm nobody, except in the kingdom. And what makes me somebody is I know Jesus.
Amen.
And He's my friend.
Yes.
He's my elder brother. He's my master. He's my creator. He's everything to me.
Yes.
And I come here tonight to share a little bit about what I know about the master. And I'd like to start in Genesis, if I can find my glasses. I think it's chapter 9 where I want to go. Start out with a phenomenon. Lost Genesis. Where is it? It's a book. It's something about something that was said to Noah. Yeah, chapter 9 and verse 1 is where I want to go. You know, you might also wonder, how did I ever get around to serving the Lord? Well, last night I told a story. I had a son dying of melanoma cancer. He was 21 years old, and they said he doesn't have any hope. And I was a drunk, and I cried out to God. I didn't even know if God was up there. I went to church, but they always talked about somebody that died. And, you know, Jesus used to get raised at Easter for about a week, and he was a baby at Christmas time for about a week, and that was it. He never was around when I needed him. But he was there when I cried out, because he healed my son. He was full of cancer. And the floor that he was on in that hospital in Portland, there was 33 on that floor. And 3 years later, they were all dead but Bruce, my son. And I just talked to him before I left home. Got a grandson now. And God heard me. He heard me because He loved me. He didn't hear me because I was some super saint. He heard me because I was His creation, and I was crying out to Him. Now, if you ever get the feeling God isn't going to hear you, it's a lie from the pit. He hears you. And once that happened, then I began to search and find out who is this God. I can spell God tonight. Spelled J-E-S-U-S. All things were made by Him. Without Him, nothing was made. And you know, isn't it a marvelous thing that your friend is the one who created you and the universe? That's an awesome thing, folks. The God of the universe is your best friend. Awesome. You got an awesome God. Okay, Genesis 9:1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moves upon the earth, and upon the fishes of the sea. Unto your hand are they delivered. Every living thing that lives shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. And you're saying, well, that's kind of a lot of words for where are you going? He said we have authority over everything that flies, the fish in the sea. We got authority. He's given us authority on earth. Okay, now stop and think about it. What does that mean? We've had a picnic every year that we get together, the church does. And so this dawned on me that if this is true, then at our picnic we don't have to put up with mosquitoes, flies, yellow jackets. We don't have to put up with anything.
Amen.
If that's true. So we have our picnics in the summertime in July, and you lay out the chicken and the potato salad, everything that yellow jackets. Y'all got yellow jackets here?
Yeah.
Okay, we lay out everything that they like. And we go early in the morning, we pray over that ground. We take authority over everything that flies. And you know what happens? There's none comes into our camp.
Hey,
we
man.
Have our table laying out there and for several years running. Bobby has been there to our picnics. So I do have a witness here. And they just don't come. And I know some people are probably thinking, well, that's goofy and this guy's crazy and that's witchcraft. It's not witchcraft. It's what God said.
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you something. You never get those kind of things to happen unless you pray it. I had a lady come to me one time. I told her that story. And she says, I got all kinds of termites. They're crawling in out of my house every place. She said, if you pray, they'll die. And I thought, God, I don't have faith for that. But I prayed with her. Her faith was enough. She came back about 2 weeks later and says, hey, Pastor. I said, what? She says, you know them termites? And I thought, no, she's going to tell me it didn't work. She says, they died. I said, they did? She says, yeah. See, she had reached out in faith, and she believed if I agreed with her prayer, it would happen. And it did. And so what I'm trying to tell you is things happen because we pray. We go to a men's retreat in what we call Eastern Oregon. It's high desert. And the mosquitoes ride in posses. And they're big and they're hungry. And we can set a camp at night around the fire. And you can see them above you just like a haze. And you can see them on the little creek over there, just black with them. And you know what? There, this last year, there was about 25 men there. You know how many mosquito bites we got? We didn't use yard guard and all that stuff. We asked angels to surround us.
Amen.
It works.
Amen.
I just wanted to share that with you to start tonight. And those men in that camp out there, we're not any more pure or holy than you all are. We just love Jesus. We're out there praying for one another and trying to get on with God. And the devil's going to tell you, oh, you ain't going to make it and you're not worthy. He's a liar.
Amen.
You know how you can tell when Satan's lying? His lips are moving. He is the accuser of the brethren. Whenever you feel accused of something, it's Satan. God will convict you of something, but if he comes along and convicts, he always has an answer for you. He'll always have help for you. But the devil comes along and said, you're no good and you're not going to make it. There's no help. Turn it off. Don't listen to it. You don't have to. Jesus said that he loves us. We got to get that inner spirit. Without the love of Jesus, you won't go any place. Hallelujah. Now I want to move to another spot. I want to go to Numbers. Let's see. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Chapter 14. In verse 18. Praise you, Lord. Leviticus, or Numbers, rather. It said, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. Isn't that neat?
Yes.
You know, a guy asked me one night what long-suffering was, and I said, well, how long has God put up with you? And he got it just like that. long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Now, last night I was praying for people, or praying this over them, to break the curses of the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. That is because families have what we call familiar spirits, family spirits. One family has diabetes. Sandra's family had diabetes. Our family had heart trouble. My dad died at 46 years old. He was just gone. And the year that I was 46, I had a spirit of death on me. And I was telling people, you know, this is the end. And I was drinking heavier and heavier, and I figured, you know, I'm gone. And had not the Lord intervened, I would have been. I've been shoveling coal right now, whatever they do. But I remember I jumped off the Davenport one day and jumping and leaping around. I said, I died. And my wife said, my God, what is he doing now? Because it dawned on me my death had already passed. Sure, I'm going to go in the ground unless the Lord comes and takes me in the air. But I have died and been born again. I've got a rebirth.
Amen.
I'm birthed again, amen. Jesus. Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus Christo. Praise you, Lord. Now, when we pray that over people, what's one of the things I've seen happen? I was at a meeting one night, and they brought a little lady who had Alzheimer's. And she was getting lost from her bedroom to the bathroom, just a little short place there. She would be lost. She didn't know what was going on. And this is in a place called Logsdon, Oregon. And people in Oregon don't know where Logsdon is, so you sure wouldn't know. And it's way up in the hills, logging country. They brought this little lady, this little granny, down to the meeting. And I prayed for her. And I prayed that prayer to break the spirits of inheritance off of her. In Jesus' name. And she came awake. Something snapped in her mind. And the next day, she's 74 years old, I believe, she was out walking up and down talking to the neighbors. She was healed.
Praise God.
Just praying that prayer, breaking the sins of the fathers, the curses off to the third and fourth generation.
Amen.
I know it works. That's why I'm telling you about it.
Yes.
And nobody would be any more surprised than I was. But when I seen it happen, I remember going to a nursing home. I've been to a lot of those. And there was a little lady there, and she was real small and real bony little fists, and she would hit people behind the ear when they wasn't looking. You know, she'd just pop them. And she wouldn't talk, and she was wetting her pants and doing all kinds of things. And so I went there one day, and I believe if you go in a room and somebody's in a coma or whatever's going on, they can hear you. Don't ever go in a room where somebody's dying and start talking about dying. If you can't keep your mouth shut about that, stay out of the room. If you want to go in and speak life, then go in and pray for them.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. I can tell you stories about that, but I've got to stay on this one. So this little lady just sitting there looking at me. I said, now, Jesus loves you, and you can come to Jesus today. No response. I might as well have been talking to a picture. Now, I said, I'm going to pray for you, and in your spirit, you're going to receive Jesus. So I prayed. No response. No, hardly a blink. I said, now Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm going to pray it, and you just agree with me. No response. When I got done with the prayer, she looked at me and says, that was good. And the guy that was with me about fainted, the guy that run the place.
Hallelujah.
The woman became a model citizen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
She just changed.
Yeah.
You can pray for people that it just seems like nothing's getting through, but they got a spirit. They can hear you, and you just treat them like they can hear. Now, if people with you think you really slipped a wheel, but that's okay. As long as it's getting through to them.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Now, I want to move from there. I'm just trying to help you with some things that I've learned that will help people when you pray for them. I want to go to Psalm 103 now. This is one of my favorite psalms. It's done a lot for me in my life. If you got King James, it's page 587, and if you don't, who knows? Praise you, Lord. Chapter 103. Psalm 103. While you're looking there, I want to share another happening. I got a daughter-in-law that got drunk one night. I mean, really drunk. She took a pickup and was driving down this road, this gravel road, and these huge telephone poles and great big ones, she busted it clear off, and she broke her neck. And in a little place called Dallas, Oregon, the doctor took an x-ray, and she had a broken neck. And he called a life flight, which is 60 miles away, a helicopter to come. The life flight, have you seen it on TV where they send out life flight because somebody is real critical? So this thing is already on its way, and at 3:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, I get this call. This little Dallas is about 20 miles from home. I drive over there. How many knows I didn't feel like getting out of bed and going over and pray for a drunk? Hello?
Yeah.
But it says in season or out of season. That means when you don't feel like it. So I went over there. She's in this room, and she's asking for me. And when I go in there, the doctor starts swearing. What's that guy doing in here? What's he up to? I didn't even have a Bible with me, but that spirit in him knew. I went in there, and she had me put my hand on her head, and I began to pray. You know what happened? She was healed. Started moving her head around. She says, all the pain's gone, Dad. Well, then, the doctor had to take another x-ray. Well, when he brought that in, he was so nervous he dropped it because there was nothing on the x-ray now. There was no break. And he had to call the life flight that he'd told to come out by his authority. They're flying all the way from Portland and had to tell him, pardon me, there's a mistake. You have to go back. He didn't want to do that, but he had to. He had to, in his mind, admit a miracle had happened because he had the x-rays. He's got a broken neck, and now he doesn't have one.
That's right.
He's got a patient, and now he don't have one. And folks, what I'm telling you is it's something that you can do, you can believe for. Because you know who healed her? Jesus.
Right.
I'm not some super, you know, I don't have a great big Jesus, and you got a tiny Tim. You got the same size Jesus that I got. He belongs to you.
Right.
And I'm here to encourage you that if some drunken born-again logger can pray and people are healed, so can you.
Amen.
You call on the name of Jesus. He's alive. He's real. It's no joke. And he loves every one of you. Without taking you through prudent inspection. You know, we're real good at that. Well, I wonder what you've been up to. Well, what's this guy doing? Or what's she doing? Or, you know, lift him up to Jesus. Pray for him. You know, Paul said we don't judge people. He said we judge things. And we're always into people judging. Well, they're never going to make it. Well, how do you know? They're not going to if you keep picking on them and putting them down and turning the devil loose on them. You keep saying bad things about them. You know, some people get all of this instantly. And how many know some of us have to struggle a little? I was a struggler.
Yeah.
I don't want to make excuses for you. But my first 3 years with the Lord, you probably wouldn't want to hang around with me. You'd have swore up and down, I'd never make it. And I was like a yo-yo, up and down, in and out, you know, praising the Lord. But you know what? I had my eye on the mark, and I knew from that miracle with my son that Jesus was alive and nothing was going to stop me.
Right.
And I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and I kept getting up. I learned a long time ago, the only way you're defeated is if you go down and you won't make any effort to get up.
Amen.
As soon as you wiggle a foot or